This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by the president and CEO of Yampa Valley Medical Center, Sonia Fidler. Sonia's got a fascinating background as CEO and thrilled to get a chance to visit with you today. Sonia, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yes, Scott. Thank you first so much for having me. I'm honored to be with you today. I really enjoy listening to your podcast, and especially when I was able to drive more for work purposes. Always took the opportunity to catch up on your podcast. So just thrilled to join you today. So I've been at UC Health Yampa Valley Medical Center for 15 years and in the role of president since July of 2019, moving from the chief operating officer role. When I joined YVMC 15 years ago, I started out as a senior recruiter here and worked my way through a variety of roles. I was often the person who raised my hand to take on more responsibility to learn additional aspects about healthcare. Also, I've lived in our beautiful community for over 20 years, coming here to be a ski bum, sight unseen, for a couple of years before settling down into the real world. Happy that we are able to make Steamboat Springs our real world, as it not only boasts, world-class ski resort, but it's just an incredible community in which to live in, and fortunate enough to raise a family here now.
And so Steamboat's one of those beautiful places on Earth, magnificent. And take a moment and talk to us about, let me ask you first about the issue of the day. How quickly do you expect to have vaccines in your area? What are you hearing and what are you seeing there?
Yeah, so very soon. This is our precedent week, I believe, coming up. So with Pfizer having received that emergency use authorization from the FDA, we've definitely been starting to strategize and plan our operations and logistics around how we're going to be administering those and execute those plans. So it's really just a matter of days that we expect our frontline healthcare workers to begin receiving the vaccine. So definitely a very pivotal moment in history for us to be here, and very excited as well. And I think with Moderna following here shortly, we should definitely see a good volume to support all of our frontline healthcare workers.
Thank goodness, and not soon enough. Talk a little bit. You're originally a West Virginian. You're in Colorado. At least you went to what we're in West Virginia, and now you're in Colorado. An affinity for the mountains, and do you ski blues? Do you ski blacks? Are you still a double mogul person? What's the sense of your ski game as you moved into serious professionalism?
Yeah, right. Really a bit of everything. I actually snowboard. So I did grow up skiing and then transitioned to snowboarding in college. And yeah, you're right. I mean, we just had the affinity for the mountains. We want, Colorado just was the place for us to be, and we wanted to be here. So we do. We ski everywhere. And I have gone back and forth on skis, and we have what we call tele skis. It's free heel skiing. And so many of us have tried that as well. But we will even climb up the mountain. So you hear about skinning. So we'll skin up the mountains and ski down. So there's just like a gamut of everything. But definitely, I would say, your blacks and your backcountry and hiking to get to some powder. And then, of course, just, the groomers are also fun on certain days. So we love having, opportunities to be on anything and everything here.
It's simply amazing. And so talk about this. You're also a person before your time. You started sort of in human resources. And at one time, that was sort of not a sort of strategic line to the C-suite. Now, of course, human resources and talent has been recognized largely as this is everything in every kind of business and in team building. It's recruiting and keeping great people. It's developing great talent. Talk about the line and the growth of human resources to CEO, and whether that's likely to become a lot more common over time.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely when I came and started here, never would I have imagined being in this seat. Of course, I'm so happy and proud to be leading this organization. But I do think, that's one thing that I feel a lot of even our community members acknowledge and appreciate about my growth and development here is the fact that my background is in human resources. So I think, in being in human resources, you get to interact with every department for whatever reason, and you really do get to understand the background of their business. And so we did transition more recently in the HR industry to what you hear or what they call a human resource business partner. And so it really is understanding the business aspect of the leaders that you're serving and the staff that you're serving so that we can better serve them from the people side. And you do hit on every aspect of, you know, making sure that they have the right people in the right positions at the right time and being able to provide them that support. So while we're doing that, we do get to learn the aspects of the operations. And as I said, I think just my nature is to take on more. And so anytime there was an opening, such as compliance, right? Compliance is not something that people strive to get into that often. So as our compliance officer left, I was, you know, first to raise my hand, hey, I'll take that on. Not, you know, not the greatest side of healthcare that people enjoy or want to go into, but definitely another way for us to, you know, just expand our knowledge in healthcare. And so that all really got me where I am in understanding the operations and also having that people side of things and not being so focused on that. So really the relationships that you can build, the emotional intelligence, you know, just the viewpoints that you have when you're when you have the people side of the experience already down, I've found it's been really beneficial and has really helped me get to where I am today.
And take a moment. Yampa Valley Medical Center, I've had a chance to be to Steamboat, one of the greatest places on earth. Talk for a moment about Yampa Valley Medical Center and a few points of pride in the medical center.
Yeah, sure. And I agree with you. We are so grateful to be here, and we have a lot of pride of being here. So UC Health Yampa Valley Medical Center, we're a 39-bed acute care full-service hospital in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. We're actually located less than a mile from the base of the Steamboat Resort, so I can see the ski resort from our campus. And we serve a very active community of locals and, of course, visitors from across the world. So our point of pride, one, I would say, is our staff and physicians. It's really a true team effort here. We have around 560 employees and about 75 active medical staff members. And we're just fortunate to retain such a talented workforce. Of course, living in Steamboat Springs allows us to recruit high-quality skills here. Just the amount of education and qualified individuals that are interested in relocating here is great. But our culture is very family-oriented. Being in a small, you know, in the small community where we know everyone, we say hi to everyone, it also comes into the workplace, and it's really great to be a part of. It allows us to provide a personalized service. So patients, especially those who are visiting, all often share with me not only how amazed they were by the types of services that we provide and the quality that we provide, but more specifically about the personalized care. They specifically say to us, "You treated me like a person and not a number." So even those who have high affinity to, you know, the hospitals from where they come from and, you know, they have great quality, the one thing that they compare us to and that they find that differentiates us is that we add that personalized touch. And I think that just comes naturally because of those things that I shared earlier as far as just being very family oriented. That's just what our community, you know, affords us. I would say another point of pride is just the level of services we deliver here. I think that, you know, of course, we are a rural community hospital, but we are fortunate to have a high level of services. And again, people who are visiting are often surprised by that. So just to list off a few, we're a level 3 trauma center. We also include virtual telestroke technology. We actually are currently underway with a $10 million renovation of our emergency department that we started before the pandemic. We have a birthing center with a level 2 special care nursery, a cancer center, a breast care center, and then a range of surgical services, including orthopedics, general surgery. We perform robotic surgeries here, urologic surgery. And then we just have a lot of great specialties here as well, including ENT, endocrinology, heart and vascular, neurology, rheumatology, women's care that includes a midwifery program. And now, and more recently, through a partnership with our local orthopedics practice, we recently opened an ambulatory surgery center. And so, you know, like I said, we are often, people are surprised at the level of services that we're able to provide here. We, of course, as you can imagine, have a lot of second homeowners that live in Steamboat Springs, and they will often save their health care to when they're here in Steamboat, just because of the quality of care that we do provide. And then I would say another point of pride is just really the support of our local community. As I mentioned earlier, our patients are each other's friends and family members, our children's teachers. The people who we work with are local small business owners, and we're just proud of the partnerships that we've been able to build in our community. Everything from the Steamboat Springs Winter Sports Club, the Steamboat Resort, Old Town Hot Springs, to countless other nonprofits within the community. There's two support aspects that we just launched recently that I'm particularly proud of. One is our Community Health Benefit Fund. So we actually have a fund that grants funding out to nonprofits in both Route and Moffat counties that focus on established annual priorities. So in 2020, our first grant cycle, we granted $275,000 to local nonprofits that were focused in our priorities of access to care and behavioral health. And then we're also in the middle of a 5-year, $1.375 million partnership with a local foundation to support mental and behavioral health resources in Route County schools. The COVID, 19 pandemic has brought even more light to the importance of mental and behavioral health support, and we're glad to be able to do this for our local school districts. And we often hear how beneficial and how important that is to the students and to the children of our community. So we're really proud of that.
So magnificent what you've been doing, and it's really sort of a remarkable career. It really is, from sort of spending a couple years skiing to human resources, now CEO of the health system. It's a great, wonderful success story, and also you lived with the tag of interim president for a while, which I'm always sort of like thrilled for people that sort of have that tag. They step into that tag, and at some point the board says, no, this is the right person. We want her as CEO and president. So it's really a remarkable life and career story. Sonia, take a moment and talk about, if you don't mind, a few pieces of advice that you would give to emerging leaders.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just going to share what I share with my leaders here and my expectations with them. So just a few of those, of course, is to know your business and everything about it, to really be strategic and plan for the future by having an outlook, continually examining risks and challenges so that we can act nimbly and swiftly. And of course, this is ongoing. We will never reach a milestone where we can say there's nothing more to learn. I learn new things every day, every minute. We need to continually learn and incorporate those learnings into not only what we do on a daily basis, but into those areas that matter most. In healthcare, that's quality of care, patient safety, patient experience, innovation, growth, financial performance, employee engagement, continual performance improvement, medical staff engagement, community relations, the list goes on. But those are really, I think, the key areas that matter the most. I think other advice would be to celebrate your successes as well as your failures. No one likes to fail, but having failures demonstrates drive and courage to do things. Things won't always go according to plan, and that's okay, as long as we acknowledge it and, most importantly, learn from it. I often ask my leaders, even in stories of success, what could we have done differently? What would you do different if you had a chance to do it over again? And then, as I mentioned earlier, I think emotional intelligence and having that focus, I think this encompasses so much, but is a key focus of our leaders. Each situation is different. Each stakeholder group that we interact with is unique. Being keenly aware of the situation, varying viewpoints and styles, and adjusting leadership approaches and styles based on that situation environment is crucial. Without emotional intelligence, I do think that our leaders could face significant challenges, both on building their reputation and in their overall fulfillment in the role. And then I know that's a few, but I think one that specifically rose during this current pandemic is adaptive resiliency. How do we continue to practice this when there's so much going on and there's so many fears that we have on our, just professionally and personally? The impact of our work, our mission is to improve lives, is not something we can ever take lightly. So we always have to be on top of our game at all times to provide that highest quality of care to our patients. We need to anticipate needs, act with a sense of urgency, follow through, and at the same time, we need to show kindness, empathy, and patience. We also need to manage each other up and assume best intentions in each other. So, really, I ask our leaders to ask questions from a place of curiosity and realize that we share the same goals with everyone that we interact with, that we might just be approaching it in different ways. So assuming those best intentions in each other and managing each other up has been very, very important, especially now during this time of the pandemic, when everyone's reactions can be different, based on their personal and professional situations.
Sonia, you've mentioned a lot of great points. Know your business extremely well. Be a lifelong learner. look to grow, celebrate successes and failures. And then you mentioned, you also mentioned emotional intelligence and resiliency. Talk to us for a moment about resiliency. We're in a year where everybody, no matter what line of work, no matter what you do, you have to be the uncommon person not to feel more wound up, more stressed this year, more a little bit wigged out. How do you take care of your own resiliency? And do you have any advice on resiliency for people?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it takes work, and it takes work for me on a daily basis too. You know, just yesterday afternoon, I find out that my elementary school child is going to go remote this week. And, you know, that's news. And so we know that this type of information is happening and coming at us without any warning. And that's why I added the adaptive in front of the resiliency. I think resiliency alone, we've known, has always been a trait that emerging leaders and all leaders should focus on. But the adaptive resiliency is what I think we're facing now with the pandemic, in that we also have to adapt our ways to be more resilient. So I think it's really focusing, of course, on yourself. I would say my weekly emails to my staff are not so much of here are the updates that you need to know, because that's coming from elsewhere. It is focusing more on how are you all doing? We know that this is, you know, really tough, and that things are happening in our community and outside of the workplace that impacts your ability to be successful in the workplace. What can we do for you? Take advantage of all the resources that are out there for you. And then, of course, just, you know, the things that we learn throughout our leadership development courses of, you know, just how we take care of ourselves when it comes to, you know, what works for each other, what works for each individual is going to be different. For me personally, I definitely use a lot of mindfulness techniques of, you know, just really focusing on those things that I am grateful for, you know, really taking the time to shut off and whether it's not really full on meditation, but just really focusing in other areas and really being present when I'm with my family and checking in with them, but also doing these genuine check-ins, right? Not just a how are you, but really focusing on how we can help each other and having that genuine check-in. It's different, and it's everyone's going to handle that resiliency in a different way, but it's finding that. And I think a lot of it is what can we control? One of the sayings that I recently heard was to observe and learn rather than respond and react, and really save your energy for what you want to respond and react to, and pick those things. And I think it's easy for us to react to everything that's in the news, everything that's all the comments that are responded to from our news here locally. And it's easy to kind of mentally respond and react to all of that, when really that energy can be used somewhere else. So what do I really want to focus on? And you know, save my energy for those. And then the rest, just observe, just learn it, you know, let it be. Really focus on those areas that we can control rather than those areas that we can't control.
I think it's magnificent advice. I particularly love your piece of advice on you don't have to respond and react to everything. And so many of us are bombarded by text and email and TV and everything that, you know, that hits us in different ways, and learning to observe and learn and not responding and react to everything is so important to our sanity and resilience. I find that your advice and point on that is just right on. Sonia, a great pleasure to visit with you, a remarkable career. Congratulations on what you're doing at Yampa Valley Medical Center and in one of the most greatest places, another Steamboat Springs, magnificent. Thank you so much for joining us on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.